Hello, we are Emma White
and David J. Lilly.
We are both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We're both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you right here.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or a creative type, or you spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkly chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Emma
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life. Hi, Emma. How are you feeling after Thursday night?
Hi, David. I'm good. I'm just about starting to come off the adrenaline rush. How about you?
Yes, I woke up this morning and I was exhausted when I woke up because I think I must have been running on adrenaline until I went to sleep last night.
Yeah, same. I mine kind of started leaving my body last night. But today I feel like I could sleep for another 6 hours. But no chance. No chance in this house. Kids were up at 6 as per usual.
Oh my God, I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
It's
quite amazing.
Just get used to it. It's just normal,
I suppose. So I suppose we should give our thoughts for the listeners on, you know, what episode one was like for us.
Yeah. What was it like for you?
Well, it was a mixed bag. The one thing that kind of annoyed me was that we'd had instructions, if you recall, to be kind of wearing very plain clothes, no patterns, no stripes, nothing that's going to pull on TV. And then I got there and I thought, hang on, both Jack and Piers are in like really loud clothes. So I thought, and I'm Mr. Plain, I'm in double blue. Okay, my jewelry better stand out because my bloody clothes don't, that's for sure.
That's so funny. About my clothes as well. Somebody said to me, it's good to wear colour, like wear bright colour. So, but like you, you know, I was kind of avoiding the whole patterns and things. So, yeah, so I wore some jeans that I got from my friend's shop. So there's a little shop in my village where I buy quite a lot of my clothes. And she'd advised me into these more modern jeans and told me to stop wearing skinny jeans because they weren't in anymore. My top was from Sugar Hill, which I wear in the second episode as well. Some Sugar Hill clothes, one of my favourite brands.
Oh, okay, it was cute with the hummingbirds or kingfishers.
Yeah, some embroidery embellishment. I mean, they're probably like, you know, I don't know if they still sell that particular clothes. I think it's a couple of years old, but yeah, I just love that coral colour. Really nice.
So I got past that pretty soon. I mean, it was fun just sitting in the foyer talking to everybody behind our face masks, because do you remember?
Yeah.
We still had to wear face masks until we were on set because of COVID.
I know.
Having our temperature taken and things like that, like, are you allowed in the building?
Yeah, and having two COVID tests before we were allowed. Go to Birmingham.
That's right. If you didn't pass the test, you didn't get a cab.
I know, and the terror of one of them being positive, because then, you know, you'd have been out on your ear, pal, out on your ear.
Well, we got through that bit anyway. So, and 3.5 hours. It was funny when they announced that on the telly. I thought, was it really 3.5 hours we had? I thought it was less.
Yeah, same. I actually thought they've got that wrong. It wasn't 3.5 hours, was it? And I looked back at the briefs and I was like, gosh, no, it was. It was 3.5 hours. Didn't feel like 3.5 hours. Felt like 3.5 minutes.
I know. I it's funny enough. I looked at my work and then I looked at the work of others and I thought, did it take me 3.5 hours just to do that? It's weird,
isn't it? You're not as fast because you're not in your own space. The tools are all in a different place to the place where you normally have them, on your own bench. And then you've got, you know, Catherine Hine wandering around speaking to you, which you're gonna stop and speak to her and enjoy it because it's all part of the experience, and obviously Sean and Dinny, and you know, so it's not the same 3.5 hours that you would have if you set yourself 3.5 hours in your own studio.
No, that's very true. We all had our own little producers as well, who we had to do our little nods to screen, and then it was okay, can we just do that from a different angle, please? And can you do it again? I thought, well, you can only solder the joint once, so I can't unsolder it and solder it again.
Remember what someone said to me, I was soldering something and it was done. I'm like, could you just keep the torch there for a bit longer? And I'm like, no, not really, pal. <It'll melt>.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny, but yeah, it was funny. I mean, the whole thing though, that we're being a master make, you know, a statement earring was something. Well, I suppose I had made a couple of pairs of earrings before, but I hadn't done it for ages. So this was a really different challenge for me. And I just thought, with the materials we had, how am I going to make this me and also fit the brief? And in the end, I was really, really pleased with what I came up with. But it took me forever with the designing of this. I probably spent about 3 or 4 days going over the design and changing the design and then scrapping the design and coming up with another design. And in the end, it was the day before we got there that I turned the design upside down and ended up with the earring I did. Because initially, initially I had it point down with the cabochon at the top.
Well, my design came to me pretty quickly, I think, because I was kind of thinking about elegance and movement, and then I was looking at the stones and the, you know, the lapis lazuli spoke to me. So. Mm. And they kind of blew, and then I just kind of hit quite quickly on the feather idea. And there was quite a lot behind the feather concept, which none of which actually made it into the edit at all. So we were kind of, like you've already said, you know, we were still kind of in COVID mode, weren't we? Mm. And you know, we'd come out the other side of lockdown. We were just coming out the other side of lockdown when we were filming that episode. And you know, so I kind of was thinking about kind of freedom, and you know, feathers being associated with you know, birds and flight and freedom, although you know, ironically they don't actually fly, do they? So anyway, but I kind of went down that kind of started in that train of thought, and then something happened to one of our friends. She lost her mum really, really suddenly, and she's a really close friend, and I spoke with her on the day that her mum had died, and she was just in bits and I was in bits, and we just both cried down the phone. And anyway, and this particular friend, she loves birds, and when I was looking into the story behind peacocks, there's a lot of symbolism around peacocks, and some people think that they're unlucky, that the feathers are unlucky. And it's because there's a connotation with them that's around death. But when you actually look at when you dig a little deeper into that, they don't really just represent death. What they represent is like love that lasts, like everlasting love that lasts beyond death. So it's like, you know, it's eternal love. It's kind of immortality, you know, and there's all this. And so the more I kind of looked into the design and I sort of read back into it, and I just thought, this is for Claire. This is Claire's earring. And so as I was kind of moving forward with the design and practicing it and refining it, that was what was kind of in the forefront of my mind.
That's so wonderful. I didn't know that. That's really
lovely. Behind it. Yeah. And obviously that's a really personal story for my friend, and I have asked her permission to share that on the podcast, which she has given. And I actually have one. I've actually made it into a necklace for her because she's not a big earring kind of a girl.
Right.
So I have a piece for her, which is a memorial kind of to her.
Brilliant.
Our lovely mum.
Well,
back to soon.
Yeah. So you're thinking that you might add these into your kind of collection of jewellery that you offer to the general buying public anyway?
Yeah, I have a little sort of micro range that's designed around it. It's a bit different to the show.
Sure.
And it was quite interesting watching the episode, because as I've continued with that range, it's changed. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't realised that it had changed, but it has changed a little bit. I've gone with using Labradorite. Labradorite. You always say stone's different to me. I don't know if I'm right or you're right.
You've got the Scottish version and I've got the English version.
Yeah,
that's it.
North South Divide thing, David. But just because the colours are so magical and the iridescence of them and stuff, it just lends itself, I think, really nicely. Yeah. I've had them bespoke cut as well.
How lovely.
Make them thinner so that they work in terms of weight for the ear. Because they, you know, they're quite heavy, these statement earrings, when they're that
those
big.
Those gemstones were big, 20 mil kind of stones. They're not exactly the lightest little gems to stick in your ear, are they?
Oh, no, they're not. And that was something when I was designing mine, that I sort of designed it and made it and went, oh, wow, yeah, I love that. Put it up my ear and thought, oh, God. So I kind of went back to the drawing board with it, and I rolled my metal down instead, and I made it a lot thinner. So the new collection, the micro collection, I'm literally, I just teased it last night on my social media. I'm gonna get that online in the next week, hopefully.
Excellent. Make sure you put it everywhere online so that everybody knows it's up there.
Yeah, I need to. Which I just launched a new website on Friday, and it's just been glitchy as hell, and there's been tons to sort out.
God.
And I'd taken a lot of my products off just because there was kind of like not really sure what to expect, and I was like, I need to just ease into this slowly. So I've just slowly been going through and adding things. So I added some personalized jewelry and then realized there was no personalized box on the website for people to actually put in their what they want.
Oh, okay.
On the piece. So I was like, I phoned up the web designer, I went, bit of a flaw here, mate, bit of a flaw.
Yeah.
He's busy sorting that out.
Brilliant.
Sorted already, he's got a solution in place. But yeah, and then somebody got in touch and went, try a gift voucher, and it's not working well. So I'm like, gift voucher, come on, Simon. Simon, gift voucher. So yeah, but it's just the nature of the beast. When you swap website, there's just going to be stuff sort out. So we're getting there. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled.
Indeed. So one of the other things that was shown, obviously, was personal things on our workstations. And I got, obviously, Chris as the teddy bear.
I loved your little pun.
Well, lots of people will get it, and other people won't understand it at all. So questions sent to this email address, please. That's it. But yeah, they haven't got round to talking about what's on your bench next. So I wonder if that'll come up in episode two.
Maybe. I won't say. Yeah. No spoilers.
No, absolutely not. But I remember what you added in at one point, and that was hilarious. But we'll see whether they feature that or not. But yeah, I was really pleased that you suddenly got this kind of big shot of the little teddy, because he's only about 5 inches tall.
Yeah.
And of course, we were watching it on this 10-foot high screen at Chris's offices. Yeah.
Your screen was ridiculous.
I know, it was mad, wasn't it? But we've suddenly got this teddy bear that's like 4 foot high in the screen in front of us. And I just kind of, everybody burst out laughing when that came on.
Excellent.
Yeah, that was
good,
fun.
Good show. I was really happy with it. And, you know, I think they sort of got the measure of us all, you know, quite well. And I didn't feature much, which was fine, because that meant I wasn't having a disaster. So yeah, I thought it was kind of fast-paced and dramatic and fun and fresh, and it felt great. Yeah, it took me right back. It was really lovely to watch. I was worried I might be a bit nervous and possibly a bit emotional, but I just loved it. I just really enjoyed it. It was just a great watch. I tell you what, though, when you see your jewellery blown up that big on a screen with the front-facing light, it is completely unforgiving on the finishes.
Yeah. So, That's well, frost everything.
Yeah,
hides a multitude of sins.
Yeah, I mean, for the nameplate, I actually intended to have a scratch finish.
Right.
And I just ran out of time and didn't do it. So, I mean, I literally like threaded mine on the chain, stood in front of the plinth that was being showed at the time. And went mine, and I just kind of ran out of time. So, yeah, my setting was a bit rough as well, because literally just chucked that stone in and just went like, I just got a pusher and just went bang, 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 bang. I mean, enough that it was in and it was set, but I would have liked to have refined it a little more. But it was in. I like the design, so I was happy with it. But yeah, it wasn't supposed to be shiny. It was supposed to be shined and then scratched, which is a lovely finish I use a lot. But yeah, a bit shocking when you see it blown up to like 100 times its size. You can see imperfections that I just can't see. I mean, some of the pieces that were on that stand were beautifully finished, and none of them look beautifully finished.
I mean, I mean, Sean picked up on that my bezel, there was a slight deviation in it or something, and I thought, wow, I'd missed that completely. But I mean, I was only using my magnifier and not using a loop, so you know, it's like, okay, next time, double check every little piece of what you're doing, because there was something that obviously I just couldn't see.
But what are you going to do about it at that stage? Do you know what I mean?
Well, at that stage, you can't
do anything. You're not in your own workshop. You can't think, oh, you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. You don't have the luxury of that. It's like you're on a schedule. And, you know, I did find that I was like, got to, yeah, oh, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Because you just have to keep moving on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was that amazing. Hard,
perfectionist.
Yeah. People have asked me, you know, how long did it take to do this? I said, well, actually, I mean, we were on set, obviously, making for 3.5 hours each day, but it was like a 12, 14-hour day, wasn't it, to actually make what ended up as kind of 1 hour of TV. And you were on, living on adrenaline the entire time, really.
Yeah. I know. And I know we kept being encouraged to, like, eat and drink and stuff, and I just didn't want to put anything in my system. As I was just so, like, you know, hyper. It was great fun. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
And I don't know about you, David, but when we were there, because they film an episode over 2 days, obviously that, you know, that's not really a spoiler because they say see you tomorrow in the show. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't sleep either when I was there.
Yeah, I definitely didn't sleep as well as I might have, even though the beds in the hotel they put us up in were very comfortable.
Oh, lovely.
But I probably got about 5 hours sleep. I think that's about it.
5 hours a full night.
You always like getting up earlier than me anyway, so just to be ready.
Yeah, 5 hours is a full night's sleep when you've got 3 kids. But no, I was probably getting away with maybe, I don't know, I wasn't falling asleep until midnight and I was waking up about 3. So it was literally just, body was just dealing with the absolute exhaustion and then my brain was waking me back up again. And I came back after the filming the first episode, I was 3 pounds lighter.
Oh my God. I was probably 3 pounds heavier from all the chocolate I kept eating that they kept, you know, offering us throughout the day. Crazy, crazy. But one thing also, sorry, go on. It was definitely fun.
It was such fun.
Yeah.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. The last sort of 15 minutes of any challenge was awful.
Mm-hmm.
But taking that aside from it, everything else about the experience was brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one thing that some people have asked me, and probably the same with you, is did we have to do that designing in the time of the making? And I said, no. We actually had time to, you know, create our designs beforehand. Mm-hmm. As alluding to earlier about the earring. And when we were filming, that wasn't included in our making time either, was it? They were very generous and they gave us time to sketch out our designs before we actually had to start making.
Yeah, we don't have long, did we? Like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah. But it's good to know.
Challenge time then, I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, that was different. So it didn't take away from the time we had the challenge. And that, unlike, as you said, I mean, you might have 3.5 hours to make something, but by the time you've spoken to Dinny and to Sean and to Catherine and your own producer and everything else, you've probably lost 15, 20 minutes at least, didn't you?
Oh, definitely. All that chit-chat, that's part of the experience, you know? I want to speak to
absolutely.
I mean, what an amazing privilege to spend time in their orbit, really.
Yeah.
So for me, that was just part of it. And if that cost me some time, then so be it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think in some ways it relaxed me more because it kind of somehow normalized it.
Mm.
In that people were interacting with me like if I had people in the studio type of thing.
Yeah, I think if you teach as well, it may get a little bit easier because, you know, like you, I'm used to teaching people and making jewelry and talking at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think that was a benefit, definitely.
Yeah. So which bit were you most nervous about when you saw yourself on telly? Was there something like, oh God, I'd forgotten how nervous I was at this point? Or was there anything, or were you just, you know, like,
don't look like
fine?
I was like, you'll never see yourself face on, don't you? And I don't really see myself ever from the side. And I was like, oh God, I don't know if I like my way of looking inside. Never mind.
I didn't like my view from behind, but oh my God, that ass is not made for television. Yes, that tonsure is getting a little bit bigger. Am I going to have to take up monastic orders soon? You know, things like that.
Yeah, I was like, Christ, is that middle-aged woman? Oh God.
It clearly wasn't you.
Yeah, it clearly was, mate. We're the two buggers in the room.
Oh, come on. You're like 16 years younger than me. That doesn't make you old at all, because I'm never going to be old.
Mum and Dad, apparently, me and you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But Mum and Granddad, more like.
No, it was fun. I loved it. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, moving on. What else is going on in your world?
What else is going on in my world? Well, outside of all the glitters, you mean?
Yeah, just what's up?
Well, I mean, it's been kind of all the glitter focus mostly, I suppose, for the last kind of week or two. But other than that, I've had some lovely people come and make stuff at the studio, which is great. And I've been working on an addition to the Menea collection, which I've been working on for the last 2 weeks, which is a necklace, which I think I'm going to eventually set with garnets. I know I put it out there with a selection of different gems to go for. And I think garnets are the one, but I haven't got round to absolutely designing it. But I was working on the chain for that yesterday, and I've just got a whole lot of cast silver back from Paul, who does my casting, who you can find on Instagram as Mr. Bojangles. And I'm really pleased to get those. Cast came out beautifully, so I've gilded them, and I've now got to set them with the tourmalines, which I will do next week. And then that collection will be ready to go to the assay office with a whole lot of other stuff that's waiting to go to the assay office as well.
Yeah.
So that's keeping me busy at the moment. What about you?
Well, the new studio has been my focus for the last week, 2 weeks really. So we knocked through the wall and took on additional space for teaching.
Looking fab.
It looks amazing. It's all kind of bare brick and... we've painted the walls like really dark grey and all the woodwork's black and there's loads of green and little touches of brass. Got two amazing new benches each seat.
They do look, I thought you painted,
I've got my own bench.
Yes, it looks fab.
Long time, because I've always had run classes and teaching spaces. My bench has always just been, you know, one of the benches.
Yep.
And I'm really excited about that because I've got a nice fancy beachwork top for the top. Mm. And I can leave it messy, which is basically the reason why I have it.
So that does make a plus point, for sure.
So our new courses start week commencing the 5th, which is the same week that schools go back by me in England. Mm-hmm. But schools are back already. So, yeah, if you're in Yorkshire and you want to come and learn, please give me a shout because I have got lots of spaces and I need some bums on seats, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe I should come up and be a bum on your seat and just annoy your students one day.
Absolutely. Your bum is welcome on my seat anytime, David.
Thank you very much. the other thing that there's lots of people have been saying how, you know, wonderful they thought the show was and my work was and so forth on Instagram. And I've been trying to stay in touch with all of the people who've made comments and sent me messages. And I thought, what's all the glitter about? It's about, you know, they talk about finding the new kind of jewelry, up and coming jewelry star. And often it's for people who are at the beginning of their careers, obviously, because I mean, you know, when I say beginning of their careers, I mean, they're probably in their 20s and that they've got a long career ahead of us. And obviously you've been making jewelry for, you know, quite some time. Mm-hmm. I haven't, but I've had a career in all sorts of other things. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe I'm just going to give a shout out to someone who's been really effusive on Instagram and is just about to go to uni, but already starts making really lovely fine jewelry. So I think it's worth other people checking him out because I think he's possibly going to be, you know, a star of the future. And that is Isaac Parry, and he's Isaac Parry Jewelry, JEWELLERY, because he's based in the UK. Mm-hmm. And he could be, you know, the next Hugo or somebody else. And I've already told him he should be doing all the glitters when he's ready, you know, maybe next year, year after, whatever. So his work, you know, has a finesse that yours does rather than a contemporary feel that mine has. But I think we could see him on the TV next year, the year after.
No, mate.
So, I think he's worth checking out and keeping an eye on, because I think he's going to produce some really lovely stuff when he has the time.
Yes, it's nice. Looks good. Lovely.
So that's my thank you shout out to just one person, because I just don't have the time to mention everybody. We could just do a program saying thank you to all the people who have been kind to us in the last 2 weeks, couldn't we?
Oh, it's been lovely. So I'm going to do a shout out to my place of residence from a business point of view, which is Sunnybank Mills.
Yep.
It's an amazing old textile mill in Farsley, where I live, eat, sleep, breathe, school the kids, everything. And there's so much going on there. It's fabulous. There's a gallery. There's a full programme of events. There's lots of things like weaving workshops, heritage days. We've got an amazing events venue that does everything from like opera nights to comedy to crazy bingo. We've got lovely bars and restaurants.
Yeah, you've got great food people there. When I came up and stayed with you, and we had a few days together, we had food from that amazing place around the corner from yours.
Where did we go? Did we go to Grumpy's? Oh, no, we went to Prashad, didn't we?
That's it, yeah.
That's it, yeah, that's not in the village. I actually got out the village that day. That was quite a crazy day for me.
Right.
But yeah, it's fab. So Sunnybank Mills, there's tons going on. And also they are filming Soembe there at the moment.
Oh, of course they will, yes.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying that, but I've just said it, so there you go.
You could be brought in as a guest judge or something to deal with the thing that they have to sew jewels onto or something.
Sounds good. I'll go on there and be accessories advisor. I'm going to see Esme actually, that she's doing an event in the mill. She's doing like a talk about her life thing. I'm going to go to that. So I'm quite excited about that because she's had a fascinating career.
That has, isn't she? Amazing woman.
Always interested to find out more about how people's paths and what they've done. So, yeah.
And talking about people's paths and what they've done, we should give a shout out to Steve, shouldn't we? As we won't see him in episode two.
Mustafa, Steve, incredible, lovely man.
Mm.
Very talented.
Absolutely.
Oh, Instagram profile, his work is stunning. Please go and look him up. And such a nice bloke. Top bloke.
Absolutely. I mean, very contained. You know, when he was on set, he wasn't like the most chatty of all of us. But I remember when he came up to the testing day that I was at, the poor man had a broken foot, and he had his leg in a boot stuck under the bench. Yeah. And still produced amazing work.
Yeah.
And he does make amazing work. And like he said himself, one thing that all the glitters taught him was that if he's going to make great jewellery, it's because he can do it at his own speed, in his own place. By himself.
Yeah.
And that's when he worked the best.
Stunning. And I didn't know the story behind it until I actually saw the show.
No, neither did I.
That was more special for me, I think. So it was beautifully executed. Just got really unlucky with the chain.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a timing thing. But the time thing is the hardest thing about being on a show. For me, it was, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we can all produce beautiful jewellery. We wouldn't be in there. It's just whether you can do it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and play to the camera at the same time as well.
Yeah, an amazing story as well that Steve has. Amazing backstory. A lot more detail to it. He has written about it. So if you are interested, you can dig and you can find out his story about his journey from Syria. He's an incredible, inspirational person.
He certainly is. And it's nice to stay in contact with him as well.
Definitely. Looking forward to seeing all the crew very soon.
Absolutely, yes, because we are meeting up with a certain jeweller next week, aren't we?
Shush, David! Shush!
I'm not saying who, I said a certain jeweller, that's all.
You're naughty. Right, I've got to get my kids ready. I'm taking them to Alton Towers. Wish me well.
Have fun.
Like, I've not been on enough roller coasters recently.
Yeah, but they were metaphorical ones. Now you're going to go on a real one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, sweet pea. Speak to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track, Optopi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.